Dean Apfer on this Thursday. Good to have you here. My next guest is Dr. Nathaniel Cogley. He is the head of the Department of Government at Tarleton State University. He has a national reputation for an even-handed way to deal with politics. Professor, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate it.
Good to have you here. All right, so Bernie Sanders comes away with a tight win in New Hampshire, but he could be fairly called the front runner now. And I think that, and you help me here, but I think the Democrats have a Bernie problem. First of all, I don't think Bernie Sanders is electable nationwide for a variety of reasons, but I don't think Americans are going to pull a lever for a socialist. The second big part of that problem, though, is that the Bernie bros, the Bernie hardcore base and supporters, aren't going to vote for others that they consider moderate. They're certainly not going to vote for a billionaire, but that is Bernie's dream date, I think, to take on Michael Bloomberg. It's what he's waited his entire life to do. Your thoughts?
Well, I think you're right that Bernie has the messaging about the 1%. He has his rhetoric prepared to take on a billionaire. That's true. I also agree that I don't think the Democratic Party establishment wants him to be the nominee. I think they appreciate a lot of the young people he brings in, a lot of the energy they bring in. But at the end of the day, they want to rally around a more quote-unquote acceptable establishment candidate. Last cycle was very easy for them. There was the Hillary machine that intimidated everyone that the establishment was quick to rally around. And right here, it's just not clear what the alternative is. I never thought Biden was a strong candidate, and I always thought the wheels were going to come off. But the question is, where does that support go, and where is the establishment going to rally around? And we basically now see Buttigieg is there, Klobuchar is there, and Bloomberg will be coming in big starting on Super Tuesday.
Sure.
But it's still divided. It's a divided field other than Bernie. And he's kind of beat out Warren, and that was uncertain for a moment, but that seems kind of clear right now.
Yeah, I don't see it as being possible that the electorate's going to go for a 37-year-old former mayor of a small city in America in the Midwest. I don't see that as likely. Klobuchar, it's almost as a a consolation prize, I suppose, for the Democrats. She's not exactly a riveting speaker. She doesn't get people on the edge of their seats. Here's the problem. You have a charisma factor that just isn't there. And not to mention, I don't think Bloomberg's a very good candidate either for a variety of reasons. I mean, the comments that have been coming out about stop and frisk and, you know, we don't stop enough minorities. We need to stop less white people and more minorities. Those are self-inflicted injuries that don't go anywhere. And he said those when he was just a young man of 73. I mean, you don't get past that.
Well, I agree with you. Some of his word choice there is going to be difficult in a Democratic primary. I heard your earlier segment. He should definitely be talking about bringing security to these communities so that the kids grow up with security. He should definitely be using the more positive language when he's talking about that policy. And to have him with these clips is not going to play well in the Democratic primary. You know, I've been a little more optimistic about Klobuchar. I did a Minnesota segment a couple months back, and they said, well, what's wrong with the Klobuchar campaign? And I said, there's nothing wrong. She's got 5% and there's 20 candidates. She's making every debate. She's being patient. If you look at someone like Kamala Harris, she blew $50 million and didn't even make it to the first state. Amy Klobuchar has managed her funds well. She's timed this well. And if you look at her record in Minnesota, she's always won big. She's a winner. She has that mindset. I do agree that maybe her charisma could be a little better to be a potential matchup against President Trump. But she's on the radar here. She's timing at the right time. But I think it's probably Bloomberg or Klobuchar are their best matchups. I see Trump beating a Biden, a Buttigieg, a Warren, a Sanders real easy.
You think that Klobuchar and Mike Bloomberg could stand up and take the president on and win, you think? I mean, see, because here's my problem. I don't think Bloomberg, with his radical anti-gun message, which for a lot of people in the Midwest, that's what it is, radical anti-gun message, because you go to Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, they're not going to surrender their firearms to Mike Bloomberg or anybody else, and that will swing a lot of votes. That'll swing union votes away from the Democrats, right or wrong.
Well, I just think you're right. I mean, Bloomberg might not win Texas, you know, but Bloomberg's going to be able to position that as the difference between local politics and federal politics. President Trump, you know, he gets people's energy up, but he's a man of great personal accomplishment, having made billions of dollars in real estate. If you're going to match up against him, you need to also have a person of great personal accomplishment. Or you need someone like Klobuchar, which is the politics of Minnesota. Minnesota hasn't gone Republican in a long time, but it's now a swing state. It was only 1.5% Clinton victory, the sixth closest state last cycle. The politics of something like Minnesota is better nationally than Massachusetts or Vermont. So those are just their better matchups. I still would make President Trump the favorite going into that, maybe a 2-to-1 favorite. But, you know, against a Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg, or Biden, I think almost President Trump's a lock.
I think the only person that can beat Donald Trump this fall, quite honestly, is Donald Trump, Professor Donald. Professor Nathaniel Cogley here with us from Tarleton University in Texas. Am I right or wrong about that? I think Donald Trump has the ability to beat himself, but right now the field of Democrats, I don't think they're up for the task.
Well, certainly he needs to come through on his end, and we saw him do that last time. But the matchup is important. I mean, the matchup would move numbers. So I think analyzing the opponent is, you know, it can affect the outcome.
Well, there you go. All right. So Texas, Democrats dream about Texas oftentimes. Never really changes, though, does it?
Well, it is changing. It's urbanizing. Democrats do very well in urban areas. We're also a border state with Mexico, so the demographics are changing. Texas is becoming more competitive. We're going to see some House districts flip for the Democrats. The delegation out of Texas will be a little less Republican, although still majority Republican. I just don't think we're there yet statewide. Texas may become a more competitive purple state, but it's going to take some more cycles to get there. This cycle, I think President Trump wins Texas's 38 electors very easy. But if you know, last cycle, two of them were faithless electors. One went for John Kasich in Ohio. One went for Ron Paul. So he got 36 electors out of Texas last time.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what Texas laws are, but we'll keep an eye on it. Dr., good having you here. Great conversation. Really appreciate you getting up early with us to be on the program today.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Steve.
There you have it. Dr. Nathaniel Cogley here, the head of the Department of Government at Tarleton State University. Straight ahead, Mark Gearhart about his kid being jailed for a picture after this.